I love you too, brother. yes, yes.
Last night, great time of kids loving. It's just a precious man to be around, right? I just pray. Lord, just take this man that you brought, put in this pulpit, use him, Lord, and the word that comes out of him. Give him every word that comes out of his mouth. Lord, to feed his sheep. I pray for him in Jesus' name.
Amen, bro. You got your Bible. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter 8. We were talking this morning about I am who God says I am. Amen. I can't wait till next week, because next week we're going to go even deeper. This week we had a good time. Next week we're going to have a good time again. Next week is was the original first only part. now it's the second part. Amen. Romans chapter 8. You got your Bible, say amen. Is this thing on? Check. Am I on? I'm so loud I can't tell if I'm on or not. That's why I was asking. Amen. My wife says that she's always telling me, inside voice, calm down. I'm right beside you. You don't have to get so loud. And I'm thinking I'm whispering. So, yeah. And even when I'm on the phone. You know how somebody gets on the phone, the cell phone? You're in a restaurant somewhere and they're going, that's right. Heard a guy that said, I need you to plow the field on the back side of the North 40. That's right. And when you get through, and by the time he got through, I felt like getting on a tractor and plowing it myself. Amen. And watch this. Sometimes I can get that loud too. So I hope I don't get that loud when I'm talking on the phone. That's right. That's right. It was loud. It was loud. Amen. Romans chapter 8. God is so awesome. Verse 31. Awesome, awesome, awesome God that we serve. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us. That's good. Come on, one more time. What shall we say? If God be for us. Amen. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. If you look through this chapter I'm reading, a lot of things we talked about this morning about what God says about us when we reprogram ourselves is right here. Just about all of it. For I am persuaded that death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Stretch your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for this night, Lord. And I thank you, God, for those, Lord, that actually braved the cold, because we're not used to cold, and it just got cold all at one time. Father, I thank you, Lord, for those that are out here right now, Father, those that are here to learn your word, Father. I ask you to touch, Lord, in a very powerful way. And, Lord, let tonight be a continuance from this morning, Lord, about what you say about us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your power, for your anointing. I thank you, God, for your word. For Father, without your word, we wouldn't know exactly what to do, Father. But with your word, we know how to handle situations, and we know that you're with us. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint in a very powerful way. Have your way and your will in this service, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We pray, and the church said, amen, amen, amen. Now, I'm just going to talk about, I'm not even sure what to call it, but have you ever noticed somebody that was defeated? Have you ever been defeated? Okay, have you ever noticed somebody that was defeated, then somebody that actually had a defeated spirit? There's a difference. Did you know that? There's a difference in being defeated and having a defeated spirit. So we're going to talk about that tonight. You know, God never promised us a stress-free life. If anybody wants a stress-free life, you need some Valium. Amen? Okay? And just keep taking it and never stop taking it. Just going out of space somewhere, because God never promised us a stress-free life. God never promised us a problem-free life. Did you know that? He never, not one time, said that everything is going to be hunky-dory. Matter of fact, in John 16:33, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I like this version. "I have told you these things, so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration." Anybody been frustrated lately? Oh, yeah. "But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, be certain, be undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you." Woo! When he says he's overcome it, listen, it means he has deprived it of its power to overcome you. Didn't mean he had deprived it of its power to come against you, but he deprived it of its power to overcome you, to win. Amen? "And have conquered it for you." Praise the Lamb of God. That's that. You ought to be shouting right there. I mean, that's awesome. That's an awesome thought. So now in Romans 8, God tells us, shows us how we can walk in His love and walk in His presence. And He's talking about walking in more than just victory. He's talking about walking in a victorious lifestyle. Now, in this victorious lifestyle that He's talking about, there's troubles. He's talking about all kinds of troubles. As a matter of fact, He's probably got a list of just about everything we've all been through lately is right in here. But in the middle of all this stuff, He says God's with us. He loves us. His is there. He will help us get through. I remember one time somebody was praying for me, and when they were praying for me, and I'm glad I wrote it down, because as they were praying for me, they said that the trials are coming. They said, but God was going to pull you through. Pull you through. Not lead me through. Not let me burst forth, but that God was going to pull me through. And I didn't understand it, but I wrote it down in the front of my Bible that whatever's coming is going to be tough, because God's going to have to pull me through. And within a year, my wife was dying. Wow. God pulled me through that. He didn't just lead me. He didn't just open the door. He pulled me through, because there were some times I honestly couldn't even walk. But God pulled me. You know what I'm talking about. You've been there where God had to pull you. But you know what, though? I understand something. There's a difference in troubles and trials. There's a difference in defeat. And there's a difference in a defeated lifestyle. Now, what's a defeated attitude? I just wrote some things down here. Defeat means to be overcome. How many's ever been overcome in a situation? I've been overcome before. There's lately something happened. I weren't prepared for it. It hit me hard. I didn't know exactly what to do, and it got me the first time. Amen. It didn't get me the second time, but it got me the first time. To be overcome or defeat me in a contest, in a battle, or any difficulty in life. And it usually affects one or more areas of your life. But here's the cool word for it: temporary. Y'all say temporary. Temporary. It's a temporary setback. A temporary setback. Defeat is always temporary. We all face defeat. We all face struggles. And we're all going to have to find ourselves many times having to get back up off the ground. God says, though he falls seven times, I'm going to pick him back up. In other words, I may fall seven times, but I'm getting up eight. Amen. God's going to be there for me. So now that's defeat. But a defeated attitude means to be overcome before the contest, to be overcome before the battle, to be overcome before the difficulty of life ever takes place. If somebody's got a defeated attitude, they don't walk in victory, they walk in defeat. And they're always expecting the worst. I remember that little cartoon, Gulliver Travels, and there was this little guy that was always on there hollering, "It'll never work. It'll never work. It'll never work." Well, you know what? Satan would love to have us have that same attitude. It'll never work. Why not try? Why even give it a shot? It'll never work. Let me tell you something. God's in control. He's either in control or he's not in control. Amen? Just because I have been defeated from time to time does not mean that He has stopped living in victory and pushing me and pulling me through to victory. God has an answer for every problem. Amen. So now, defeated attitude, remember, they're overcome before the contest. They're overcome before they ever get hit. And eventually it takes a hold of your life. And it's not a temporary setback. It's a total setback. You can tell the difference in somebody that suffered a defeat and somebody's got a defeated attitude. Because the person that suffered defeat said, I'm getting back up and I'm going to do better next time. But someone with a defeated attitude says, I shouldn't have tried to start with and I'll never try again. You heard about cats? You put a cat sits on a hot stove, he'll never sit on another hot stove again. He'll never sit on a cold stove. Amen? They just won't get on the stove because they're scared to death of those things. So defeat is an outward circumstantial condition, but a defeated attitude is a condition of your heart, your mind, and your outlook. I ask God every day, Lord, help me to step beyond. You hear me say it all the time. Lord, help me step beyond stinking thinking. I can tell when I'm stinking thinking. I smell it. Amen? I can tell just as good. You know, we all go through problems. We all have things that will absolutely, you'll feel like you are being paralyzed by this problem. But again, it's your choice if it's temporary or if it's total. Temporary or total. I'm just going to give you a few warning signs. I'm not going to keep you long tonight because I just want to get this in your spirit. You know, first I'm going to talk about self-talk. Remember, we're not what the world says we are. We're not what our problems say we are. We're not what our past says we are. We're what God says we are. Amen? But Satan uses self-talk to kill us. He will use self-talk and he will beat you to death. So here's some self-talk that he used. Here's when somebody's got a defeated spirit, this is not just, I mean, all of us have these come on from time to time. We just have to push it away. But as far as the defeated spirit, they don't just push it away. They live in this. And if you find yourself tonight living in a bunch of what I'm getting ready to say, you ain't got to raise your hand. But when you get out of here, I want you to say, God, when the altar call hits, I want to say, God, help me, Lord, because I am getting ready to dwell in the land of a defeated spirit, and I don't want to. Are you ready? I'll try about around 10. One of the first things somebody says when they've got a defeated spirit, remember, you can stop this, and you'll be okay, but if you keep living in it, it's going to overcome you. Number one, nobody cares about me or my problems. When you start saying that, you're going to go from defeat to a defeated spirit quickly. Number two, everybody seems to have something against me. Wow, have you ever thought that? Number three, I'm worried that nothing will ever work out right. Number four, I feel that my life really is not counting for anything. Now remember, these all come to our head all the time. Every last one of us. This stuff comes to me and hits me. You know what? When it hits you, you let it bounce off of you. If you let it bounce off of you, okay. But if you let it absorb in you, the bird's going down. Amen. All right. Number five, I feel that nobody really cares whether I live or die. Number six, I wish my life were over and all this pain would cease. Number seven, I'm suspicious of others who don't agree with me. Number eight, I seem to always be misunderstood. Number nine, I sometimes feel enslaved to my own sins. Number 10, I sometimes criticize people too much. Now these are warning signs. Remember, Satan will push them out there. He'll feed them to you. But the shield of faith will help you bounce them off. But if the shield of faith is put down, get ready. Because once these things start getting in your mind, they get absorbed into your mind. And once they get absorbed into your mind, they get absorbed into your spirit or your attitude. And pretty soon, this is the way you think about things. Now remember, we're not who Satan says we are. We're who our Father says we are. We're not Benoni. We're Benjamin. Amen? This is stinking thinking. We don't have to get caught up in stinking thinking. When it comes our way, go ahead and just knock it right away. Worst whipping I ever got from my mama was when she was staring at me one day. She was giving me a stare down. Yeah, I tell you, boy, you better get up and take care of business. And she was going, you know how mamas do that. And I said, I'm going to be smart. And I pulled out a mirror. And when she went, I pulled that mirror out and said, let you burn yourself with those staring eyes. A few minutes later, my rear end was burning. And I never used that mirror again. I didn't care if it was 7 years bad luck. I broke the thing. Get out of here. Again, when you find yourself thinking these thoughts, the best thing to do is say, God, help me open up my... You know, it's like this. Tell the devil, I'm not a trash can. My mind is not a trash can for you to dump your junk in all the time. That's right. I'm not a trash can. This is not a trash can. This is God's man. I'm God's man. You're God's man, God's woman. This is not a trash can. Quit trying to dump stuff in here. God, He said that I have the mind of Christ. Amen? So here we go. Biblically, now we talk about biblically. There are some people that biblically got caught up in it. Here's the warning signs biblically. Now that was just the talk, the self-talk. If you got this self-talk going in your head tonight, when you get home you say, God, help me to recognize this self-talk and help me, Lord, to put up a defense, the shield of faith. So when the fiery darts come, we were talking about it in prison the other night, me and Brother Frank, you know, the shield of faith. When these guys, these Roman soldiers, their shield had it was several plies of wood. But not only was it several plies of wood, it had leather over the wood. And every day a good soldier would take oil and he would anoint his shield. All during the day he would anoint that shield. He wanted that shield to that leather to be soft, to be pliable, to be soaked in that oil. Because when the enemy started firing fiery arrows, if that shield had not been dipped in oil and been had oil anointing on it, then the shield would catch on fire and he'd have to throw it down. But if it was dipped in oil and rubbed in oil good, when the fiery darts or the fiery arrows came to him, as soon as the fiery arrow went into that piece of wood, it had to go through that oily leather. And when it went through the oil, it would quench it. It would put it out. He said, take up the shield of faith so you can quench the fiery darts of the wicked. So when the enemy is throwing them at you, hold up the shield of faith and say, I'm anointed for this. Y'all say this, I'm anointed for this. Say it again, I'm anointed for this warfare. Say it, I'm anointed for this warfare. That's right, you can do it. Say that here, here's biblically. Biblically, here we go. Here's some examples, here's five examples. Exodus 14, God's people get to the Red Sea. They've already seen all these plagues, 10 plagues. They've watched the greatest nation on earth. Pharaoh was considered the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There was other kings, but he was the King of Kings because when he spoke, other kings bowed down to him. Here he is, in 9 months to a year, they saw the greatest kingdom, the most powerful kingdom on earth, crushed under the 10 plagues of God. And they get to the Red Sea. And when they get to the Red Sea, all of a sudden now with their back against the wall and Pharaoh coming up against them, they're blocked out by mountains on each side, a Red Sea in the front, Pharaoh coming behind them. All of a sudden now, instead of wait, saying, you know what? God's already worked 10 miracles in my life. God's already come through when they said it couldn't come through. God's already showed Pharaoh, the most powerful king on earth, just who is God. He's already destroyed that kingdom and now they're coming at me. If God did it 10 times before, God will do it now. That's not what they had. They had a defeated spirit because at the Red Sea, watch this. Number one thing, just let me go back to the way it was. Wow. Just let us go back. We'll go back and get in the flesh pots of Egypt. Just let us go back. You know what? The thing was already destroyed. But they wanted to go back instead of going forward because after the 10 plagues, now they've got the Red Sea, and the Red Sea looked a whole lot bigger than those 10 plagues. And so now that defeated attitude and defeated spirit was about to take them under. Number one, they wanted to go back. Number two, Numbers 13. 12 spies went into the promised land. 12 spies brought back the proof of God's promise. The grapes were so big they had to carry them on a pole between their shoulders. It was so awesome. God said it's a land flowing with milk and honey. But 10 of the spies, 2 of the spies, Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able, let's go ahead now and take care of it. I'm going to tell you why they said let's go now. Let's go at once. The 10 spies said, we can't do it. We're not able. They saw the 10 plagues. They saw the Red Sea open, or some of them did, and they saw all this stuff that's going on. And so when they saw all this stuff, or either heard about it or saw it personally, they still, when they get to the promised land, they say, can God really keep His promise? So the first thing of a defeated spirit is you want to go back to the way it was. The second one is you're scared to go forward. 10 spies said, we can't do it. Let's go ahead and make another captain. We can't do this. He brought us out in this wilderness to die. So 2 spies said, let's go up at once, now, and take it. Why did it say let's go up at once, now, and take it? Because if they didn't go up at once, then here it is. Watch this. If they didn't go up at once, here's what they hear. Nobody cares about me and my problem. Everybody seems to be against me. I'm worried that nothing's going to work out right. I feel that my life is really not counting for anything. I feel that nobody really cares whether I live or die. I wish my life was over and all this pain would cease. I'm suspicious of others who don't agree with me. I seem to be always being misunderstood. I'm sometimes feeling enslaved to my own sins. I sometimes criticize people too much. If they had stopped and waited, all that self-talk was going to come back in. So he said, go ahead, let's go over. But they wouldn't, and so because of that, because they went over for 40 days, the punishment was 40 years in the wilderness. It was an 11-day trip. An 11-day trip that cost them 40 years of going in circles. I can't even imagine. Somebody say 11 days. 11 days back then, you know what it'd be like today? It'd be like getting your car riding to Aurora. 11 days back for them with all those people, we could take some buses and be in Aurora in a couple of hours with all those people. But it was 11 days. Can you imagine trying to go from here to Aurora? And because you let stinking thinking take control and get a defeated spirit, you wander around Edward for 40 years waiting to go to Aurora. That Piggly Wiggly would be already sold out by then. So think about the thing. They're scared to go forward. Number 3, Joshua chapter 7. God's people at Ai. They went in. Matter of fact, here they'd gotten so confident that they said, we don't even need a bunch of guys to go take this out. But they didn't realize that somebody had been holding the holy stuff for themselves. And because they had healed the holy stuff for themselves, Achan, what happened is it brought a defeat for the whole camp. So they dealt with Achan. After they dealt with Achan and dealt with the holy stuff, then they go back and now let's go and get ahead and try it again. Even Joshua, these guys are scared to go try it again. Wow. They've seen all of this stuff happen. All this powerful stuff happened. I mean, this isn't like they just had seen the first plague. These guys have seen it all. They saw everything God was doing along the way. And now they find themselves at Ai, and God says, go and try it again. And now they go, I'm not sure. You know, I had all my confidence built up. I was moving forward. I thought it was awesome. And we got whooped. I'm not sure if I want to try it again. Be careful. The defeated spirit is trying to get a grip. Number four, David's own men. 1 Samuel chapter 30. They're fighting. Ziglag, they're fighting. They're fighting for the enemy against the enemy. And while they're fighting for the enemy against the enemy comes in and takes all their kids, takes their wives, takes everything they got. They come back into camp. But they come back into camp. They see what's going down. And next thing you know, these guys said they cried until they wept, until they had no more power to weep. And they were going to kill David. And the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. If he had done it to start with, wow. But see, that defeated attitude was hitting David, and it hit his mighty men, and they all had that defeated attitude. And it caused that internal breakdown. One more, and I'm going to tell you how to get out of it. Somebody say, please hurry up. Somebody tell that guy there's got to be some positives somewhere. There's a lot of positives. Hold on. 2 Kings chapter 6, 16. The king has thrown all his troops down trying to get one prophet, Elisha. And Elisha, servant, comes out, goes out and comes back in. We talked about this last Sunday night before last. What you looking at? He comes back and says, man, there's everywhere you look, there's army. There's battering rams. There's all kinds of stuff. They coming after you, Elijah or Elisha. You know what he said? He didn't say God removed the obstacles. Do you ever see where he said God removed the obstacles? He says, God, open his eyes. He says, now go back out and take a second look. The obstacles are still there. They're still there trying to get him. They're there to kill him. But you know what? When he goes back out, he sees ain't chariots of fire all around. Wow. If we can just look, that defeated spirit saw the obstacles. But that godly spirit saw the chariots of fire everywhere. Powerful stuff. So watch this. Who wants to hear some positives? Okay, here we go. Yeah, we're ready to hear some positives now. And this is kind of a repeat from this morning, but it's also part of us in this we just read too. Watch this. I know let's just turn to everyone and read it aloud. All of us, let's read it aloud. How about that so we can get some good positives? Turn to Romans, and I'm going to turn with you so you can say he's already there. No, I'm not. See, I'm in Psalms right now. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans, there you go. There it is. Praise God. I thought they'd moved it. Romans chapter 8. I want you to mark your Bible for these spots too. All right? Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Y'all read it with me. No, I'll wait a second. You got it? If you don't have it, raise your hand. All right, everybody's got it. You can say, well, how can I get it if I got my hand raised? It's like one day, Brother Burton got me so good. I said, turn your Bibles to such and such and wait for a second. And I want you to raise your hands and praise God. He said, brother, how can I raise my hands and praise God when I got my finger stuck in two spots in the Bible that showed me to stick to? He was awesome. He was right. Amen. Okay. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Say it with me. For I am persuaded, what does that mean? That I know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come are able to separate me from Him. Amen? Amen. Now watch this. Now turn to 31. Go back to 31. Go back to 31. Verse 31. Say it with me. Verse 31. Verse 31. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? All the stuff that's coming against me. If God be for us, who can be against us? That word against us literally means who can be our foe if God is on our side. Amen? So number one, nothing can separate us from God. God is for us. That word for us literally means it means a force between you and your problem. If God be for us, it means He's beside you. Here's your problem and here's God. He's between you and your problem. If God be for us, then who can be against us? There's no place to get up against us because God is in the way. Philippians 4:13. Y'all want to mark these down in your Bible too. Mark them down. So you can go over these things tomorrow when the devil's trying to beat you up. Philippians 4:13. Ready? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, I had a preacher friend of mine. He was down in Georgia. And he said that his preacher got up and started talking about one day about this lady in his church. That somehow or another she had fallen and she had injured her back. She couldn't walk. And they prayed for her. And after they prayed for her, it was a big church, and after they prayed for her, he hadn't seen her in a while, but, you know, other people were going to visit her and back and forth. But she came into church one day, and, or matter of fact, he went to see her, and she was starting to get up and starting to move her legs a little bit. And he said, how are you able to move your legs? He said, the seven-finger prayer you taught me. And she said, okay. And then later, not only was her legs starting to move, but now her legs where she could actually put some weight on it. And said, how are you putting weight on your legs? She said, the seven-finger prayer you taught me. And finally, she walked into church. And as she walked into church, she testified with her hands raised as she walked up and down with an injury that was not supposed to be curable. And said, how are you walking? She said, your seven-finger prayer that you taught me. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens with 5-10-finger prayer. I can do all things through Christ. That's 7. I'm going to put 10. Who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Can y'all say that? Ready? Take your fingers up and hold them up. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. You know what's going to make the devil mad? The next time he's talking to you, go, watch out, I'm getting rid of his fingers. And go, I can do all things through Christ. If you want to go and get a 10-word prayer, who strengthens me? Amen. Watch what happens. See, she said that's why she's walking again, because every time she was trying to get over this, every time she was going to physical therapy, when she was going to doctors and doctors said it was hopeless, she kept saying that seven-finger prayer, and we're going to make it a 10-finger prayer. All right. Now, number four, this isn't necessarily a scripture, but we're going to remember, I'm going to just tell you this. Believe the best in every person until proven otherwise. Believe the best in every person until proven otherwise. Do you know we have a tendency to put numbers over people's head? Somebody comes and says, well, here's Dr. So-and-so. We've already got a 10 over his head. We go, here, this guy, he just got out of the prison, and we got 2 over his head. Here's some guys right there fighting in the street. We brought them in, they got 3 and 3. Or here's somebody who's always been in trouble, we never expect them to do any better. We put the 2 over their head. So we got all these numbers over top of people's head. And although physically you may not do this, psychologically everybody does it. And what I learned a long time ago is I put a 10 on people's head when I first meet them, and if the numbers drop, it's because they did it, not because somebody else told me. That always helps me to talk to people that some people can't talk to, and helps me to get along with people that other people can't get along with, because I put a 10, And they're the ones that bring it down or bring it up, not what everybody else around me thinks. It's what they do. Now, there's some people, I put EGR over their head. You know what EGR is? Extra grace required. Amen. I'm going to point some of them. No, I'm not. I'm kidding. There, none of y'all are in here. Nobody in here tonight has got EGR over your head. Amen. Amen. I got a couple of kids that's got EGR over top of their head. They weren't here today either. Amen. All right. Now, turn to 1 John. 1 John, Little John 1. There's Little John 1, Little John 2, Little John 3. Little John 1, chapter 5, verse 4. Y'all got it? 1 John, look down there by Revelation and start working your way back. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, read it with me. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Wait a minute. Whosoever is born of God. Wait a minute. There's got to be more stipulation than that. There's bound to be more stuff than that. He just says he is born of God, overcomes the world. Come on now. You got to put 10 things. No, he said, whosoever is born of God, whoever is born again, they have the ability to overcome that world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Wow. Hebrews, the coffee chapter. Yeah. My wife and I were talking when we first got married. So who's going to do the cook, make a coffee in the morning? Remember, I told you, and I said, well, I think you should. She said, but the Bible clearly says you do. You should. And I said, well, am I supposed to make the coffee in the morning? Because the Bible says Hebrews. All right. Hebrews 13 and 5. Hebrews 13 and 5. I almost got ahead of y'all. I'm waiting. I still hear pages turning. Hope you're marking these down, writing them down, putting them somewhere, because whenever stinking thinking comes in your mind, I want you to start looking these scriptures up. Hebrews 13 and 5. Let your conversation be, y'all say it with me, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, here he goes, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Wow, I'm going to do it one more time. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. What he's saying is, my presence will not leave you, I will not leave you physically, and I will not leave you mentally. I'm going to be there for you to help you through the tough times, not only physically, but mentally, because mental, that's where the devil plays those mind games. I'm going to be there, so we would boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now turn to Romans 8:28. I know, it sounds like a lot, don't it? But we all write this down so you won't forget. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 says, y'all might be, should be able to quote this one right off the top of your head. And we know that all things, y'all say all things, good and bad and ugly, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. God's got our back. Amen? I got two more to go and just about. I'll just tell you, Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Don't get worried about what's coming against you. And then finally, 2 Timothy 1 and 12. 2 Timothy 1 and 12. If you don't know where 2 Timothy is, it's right out to 1 Timothy. Okay, ready? 2 Timothy 1 and 12. If you want a copy of these scriptures. I'll try to make you a copy and stick them out there Tuesday night. But here it goes. For the which cause I also suffer such things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able, y'all say able, to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Let me just put some Greek in there. And this is why I am suffering as I do. Still I am not ashamed, for I know, I perceive, and have knowledge of, and I am acquainted with him, who also have believed or adhered to and trusted in and relied on, and I am positively persuaded that he is able to guard and to keep that which he has, that which has been entrusted to me and which I have committed to him unto that day. Wow. Next time Satan's trying to play the head game with you, the next time Satan's trying to just chunk it to you and get your nerves all shot, remember this, rise up. Rise up. Rise up with the word of God. Refuse to be defined by defeat. Remember, my past does not define me. It refines me, but it does not define me. Amen. There's things in my past, I'm telling you, I wish I'd never gone through. There's things I wish I'd never had to suffer. But I thank God that through it all, God showed me something every single time, and he showed up every time. Amen. We're not, I refuse to be defined by defeat. And you snap, rise up and say, we are more than conquerors through him, through Christ. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I know, God, that you are definitely alive and you are well. You know, God, the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. You knew every time we were going to mess it. You knew every time we would veer off the trail. You knew every time that Satan was going to hit us. And you've already provided for us. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, to help us to realize, to understand, just like everybody before us had to realize and understand that if you be for us, who can be against us? That there is no condemnation to those that are in you. That no matter what happens, it's all a part of a plan, and you can take even the worst of times and use it. Joseph said, you meant it for my bad, but God used it for our good. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this night. We thank you for all that you do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen.